Joy.
And I am Grecia. And we are
Basic Brown Nerds.
Hi, welcome back to Basic Brown Nerds. This week we pick up on part two of our listeners episode, and we hope you enjoy. Thank you.
We're gonna move to East Coast in one.
Hey girl! This is my bae.
Yes.
This is Nikki.
Okay, so I'm gonna ask a question and you can answer it. So as a listener who is white, how do you think I can be a supportive friend to someone of color without coming across in a way where I am seeming like I know what they're going through? That's a very good, because, like, yeah, some people, I mean, I will never know exactly what someone else is going through.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm a straight, cis, white, Latina woman. Like, I'm not white passing, but, like, I'm very light-skinned. I have a lot of... So there's, like, a lot of other people that I'll never completely understand.
And I think... Well, so this is hard to answer because I know her.
And I know the type of person she is.
Yes. And she's such a great person, and she does a really good job. So maybe, like, I'll answer it that way. Like, the things that I really have appreciated that Nikki does do, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that is her approach. She's always very, like, cognizant of other people and, like, their experience. But that's because that's the type of person she is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, regardless of who they are, she's always there to listen. And I think that's the biggest thing that you can do is just, like, listen. Like, not trying to invalidate. Yeah. And this is just something that we should all practice.
Yes.
Like, not ever trying to invalidate someone's experience. Because I think that happens a lot. Like, you'll be like, but really? Like, are you sure that they said that? And you're just like, dude, this is my fucking life. Like,
well, so I think there's two extremes.
Mm-hmm.
There's white people that, like, can't even comprehend, like, what you were saying. Like, they can't even comprehend that other people go through it because they've never gone through it.
Right.
And then there are the extra woke white people that think they know what you're going
through. Just extra woke people in general.
Well,
piss
yes.
me the fuck off.
But I know, like, a few of those people in my life where they're just like, I am so woke. Like, I know exactly what you're going through. And actually, like, it makes me want to hate you. Because
yes.
it's just like, listen, like, I am not 100% woke yet. Like, I mean,
No one will ever be.
I'm 28 years old. Like, there's 28 years worth of conditioning to undo. You know what I mean? And so, like, I would just say, like, white people, don't assume that just because, like, maybe you're into Black Lives Matter or, like, if you're into, like, LGBTQI rights or anything, like, don't assume that that makes you, like, the coolest white person ever. And that makes you so down. Like, I met a person. She was like, I'm really down. And she said something about Beyonce. And it was, like, related to her blackness. And I'm just like, well, as non-black people, I don't think we're allowed to be making any of these statements
right.
about black women. And it's one of those things where, like, I've never forgotten. Like, it's bothered me for a long time. Because
I know,
I'm
you
just
told
like,
me this. This was
yeah,
years ago.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I think it's because, like, she hangs out with so many black people that I think some black woman said this about Beyonce, which, like, might have been a completely valid, like, comment coming from her. But, like, just because you heard some black woman say it does not mean that you cannot say it and make it part of what you're critiquing because you're not a black woman. So, like, I think we all just, like, need to remember, like, at the end of the day, we all have different privileges, and just because we maybe hang out with a lot of this kind of people, that kind of people, it does not mean that you're all of a sudden Latino or black, or it's like you almost are gay, even though you're not, like, that's not
I think
how it
the problem is people trying to speak on behalf of other people, when it's like kind of what you're saying,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, I think it would have been different if your friend would be like, you know, I was talking about this with my friend, and she mentioned that.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, okay, I didn't consider that, you know, as
mm-hmm.
opposed to like, listen, I know, and you're just like, but
okay.
I think it's different also, like, when you're talking to, like, another person of color, as opposed to, like, hey, white people, if you're talking to your friends and you're saying this, good for you, like, you know? But I think it's
no,
also, like,
I think
no?
when you're making a comment about her blackness and you're not black, it's still not right. You still shouldn't be saying that to other white people.
I get, well, I think it's more just the conversation, you know? But I think it's also just don't try to take it as your
own
credit.
Don't start thinking that you're so down, you're black, or you're Latino, or you're this,
yeah.
or you're that. Like, just... You need to just keep listening because, like, no matter how much you know, you're still privileged as fuck and you don't get to...
And you can only talk about your experience.
Exactly.
Just as we can only talk about our experience. experiences.
Yeah, so that's my advice to white people. And that's my advice to white Latinos. And that's my advice to brown Latinos that still are white hating Latinos on black people. Though,
like, don't even realize.
And that's, like, my advice to, like, everybody that's still, like, against, like, any LGBTQI person in their life. Like, that's my advice. Like, we all have different privileges, and that's my advice to you, regardless of what your privilege is. So,
yeah, just consider we all wear different.
We're all trying to learn here. Right. Next question. How to navigate as a Latina in higher education.
Oh, who's it from, though?
Oh, so sorry. Mi existencia es resistencia. Ooh, like love that. Yeah, so it's, like, about navigating academia as a Latina, specifically, like, master's and a PhD while having anxiety. So neither of us have gotten our master's or PhD. I was supposed to start a master's, but I actually didn't, so that doesn't mean anything. but, I mean, I have friends that are in academia, and, like, in general, I would say, like, same, like, try to meet other people that maybe understand it already, because, like, I was talking about this to one of my friends, and he was like, yeah, like, I met this professor who's in this program that I really want to apply to, and, like, we were talking about it, and a part of me was like, isn't this, like, you know, isn't this not right that I'm talking to her, because possibly down the road she could be making a choice whether I'm admitted to this or not, and isn't that, like, an unfair advantage to have?
Isn't that what white people do?
Yeah, and then he ended by being like, oh my god, this is how white people get into everything.
That's literally what I remember when I was applying for grad school, and, like, I did the McNair's program, shout out to them, in my undergrad, and that's what they told us to do, to reach out to people, to, like, people who, you're supposed to look for a faculty advisor.
Yeah, so I would say, like, try to, like, meet other people so that you understand
what networking,
the way it works in general, and I feel like that will help tone down your anxiety, because then you don't have to constantly be worrying about, like, what do I do here, especially for a lot of first-generation people that have never gone into, like, a lot of the times we're just questioning, like, what is this? What do we do? Like, what should I be doing?
Yeah,
and so maybe, like, meet other people, and then that way that will help calm down your anxiety. And also, I would say, if there isn't a group, then make one. Like, there's, like, that story of the 8 black women that were in, like, that PhD program together, and I can't, like, remember in which school it was, but they basically, like, they would band together to, like, get each other to conferences, to, like, make sure that they were all involved, and, like, they helped push each other, and so when one wasn't doing as well, and then, like, they all 8 of them graduated from the PhD program, and it was, like, incredible. So, like, if there isn't a group there for you to connect with, then maybe make one, and just in general, like, try to find what kind of things calm your anxiety down.
Professional societies, too, especially for higher education.
Yes.
Like, Hispanic Heritage Fund, for anyone in tech, Tequeria. Like, you know, I think just connecting. But on the anxiety part, like, you know, in undergrad, that was something really big for me. And I didn't even realize it was anxiety until after college, until my first real job. But I think now, looking back, take advantages of any support that you can get. You know, like, I didn't even realize that I took the GRE, and I didn't realize that I could get extra time. Like, because of anxiety. Like, I'm diagnosed with anxiety. Mm-hmm. And, like, that is a huge difference, especially if you have ADD too. Mm-hmm. And, you know, all of these, like, added benefits, which is not really a benefit, it's kind of, like, just support.
Yeah.
I think is another big thing. You know, there's counseling on campus, like, all of these extra things that, don't be afraid of taking advantage of that, and also, like, asking for help. Because if I would have realized back then and not been afraid, I think I would have done a lot better in the day if I wasn't so ashamed.
But good luck to you if you are enrolled in a master's or PhD or going into one. Like, that's amazing. And just, you know, definitely just, like, ask for help whenever you need it, because the goal is to finish, right? So just get there, okay? And then we're going to move on to our next question from DSY, which I think is supposed to be, like, Daisy. I'm going to read it as Daisy.
I didn't even know you can have an Instagram name that short.
And it says, what are some good things you see happening within the Latinx community? Do you see us moving in a positive direction? So I think that's, like, a hard question to answer, because we are all lumped together into this category called the Latinx community. And we all come from different countries. And within from those countries, we even, like, some of us come from cities, some of us come from rural areas, some of us are more educated than others. Like, we're all just, like, lumped together, but, like, we are not by any means, like, I don't think we're quite an united community.
It's literally an entire continent, Caribbean islands, and Central America.
I mean,
North America.
I would say, like,
it's all the Americas.
If you're specifically, yes.
I'm pretty sure there's some people up in Canada, too.
I would say that if you're specifically a person that identifies as Latinx, like, that specific community within the entire community of, like, Latinos and Latinas.
Okay, like, some I would people say, don't like that X.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I think if you specifically identify as Latinx, I would say, like, we are moving in a very good direction. I think we are learning from each other. And I would just, do you see us moving in a positive direction? Based on who we're following on Instagram, I say yes.
But we're also in our own little bubble.
We are. But, I mean, I just think, like, being in general, I think we are moving in a good direction. I think I see a lot of people.
I think we're being allowed to be multifaceted people, and that's a big deal.
Yes.
Like, we're not just like, oh, okay, I'm Latino, and that's it. It's like, no, I'm Latino, I'm a nerd.
I'm
like,
this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, and I think, like...
Cool, we're getting to be people. Yeah. We're getting to be people.
I think we're definitely moving in the right direction. We have two more questions. How other Latinx people can be more self-aware and help others? How should we work as a community to empower each other? I feel like we answer that. We definitely answer that, I think. You know, same. Like, there is time to call out people, and sometimes there's time to, like... Maybe say, like, hey, you might want to think about it like this.
Be mindful.
Like, I'm not saying... be extra nice to everybody, because, like, not everyone deserves that. I'm just saying, like...
But also, not everyone deserves your anger.
Not everyone, exactly.
Like, anger takes so much energy
I work with this one person who
happens
to be...
I get mad when someone makes me angry.
Well, there's this one person that I work with that happens to be, like, openly racist. Everyone just knows him as being a racist person. And it's one of those things where, like, sometimes having a conversation with a person... it's worthwhile, because they will be learning something new, and there are some times where having a conversation with that person will absolutely just suck you of your time and energy, and it will be for nothing, because you know what? They don't give a fuck. To them, you're not a real person, and that's it. So just move on from
that. Yeah, and I think I've learned that from myself, because sometimes people will tell me shit. Yes. And I'm just like, I don't care. And then I'm like, you know what? This is why I'm not gonna put effort into, like, fighting with someone I don't know, or don't, you know, that isn't my friend or that I care about, because, like, they might not care either. So,
exactly.
Like, it's not
this
worth
is...
me getting angry
yeah.
and putting so much energy and passion into it. Because I get really,
like,
passionate about shit.
I mean, there's a different way. There's a lot of different ways people can, like, work, like, do community organizing and help empower other people. I personally only bother to do it with people that are directly around me and do it in person. Mm. I don't like to just do, like, Instagram stuff. Like,
yeah.
I'll confront
you
people.
You can't convey tone.
Yeah, I only confront people in my actual life. Well, I mean, like, you know, I'm very confrontational.
Yeah.
Like, I'll confront people in my life, but I won't do it to, like, other people, because I don't know them.
Exactly.
But anyway, and then, so that was from Watch Me Nay Nay.
Watch Me Nay Nay.
Watch Me Nay.
Watch Me Whip. God, you're like a 70-year-old woman over here.
Oh my god, I'm awful. I'm sorry. Anyway, so that was our question. That was the question. And then the other one was talk about self-care, which we also already talked about. And so the last listener question for this episode, it's, can you read the name? Because what if it's...
Get out. It's Mayan.
I just wanted to make sure...
Were you going to be like, it's May, and...
I didn't want to mess it up. It says, this is another dating question, and it says, what can you read?
We had too much wine. I cannot. You need water, girl. No, you're right. She did say, what have been?
What
have been your experiences dating
white
men
or
women people as Latinx? Oh my god, look at her.
Okay,
Good job.
We're very...
You're listening to Basic Brown Nerds, and we'll be right back.
Hey, Basic Brown Nerds, this is Joy Valerie, and I have some really exciting news for you. we have launched our merch shop. So you can go to basicbrownnerds.com/shop and rep the Basic Brown Nerd movement. And this is one of the ways that we can keep making high quality content and bring you season 3. Yup, we are bringing season 3 in 2020. And know that when you go to our shop, you're not just supporting us. You are not just supporting the production of this. 100% of the profits goes back into Basic Brown Nerd so that we can bring you more episodes, but also because I want to make all of the ideas that I have a reality, events, and keep bringing you awesome content that every time you listen or see Basic Brown Nerds, you know that these are people just like you, that in this time where people are talking so much crap about us, that you know that our community is strong, powerful, resilient, that we make things out of nothing. And to be honest, that's how we started Basic Brown Nerds almost 3 years ago. We started in front of a computer and just trying to figure it out. So if you've been listening since then, thank you so much. And when you shop from Basic Brown Nerds, you're not just supporting this, you are supporting local business, local Guatemalan-owned business right here in New York. So thank you, and feel free to reach out to us on social media at Basic Brown Nerds, and also to me at Joy Valerie with 2 E's on Instagram and Twitter. I am low-key addicted to social media. That's literally my career. I work in media. So I'm really excited to get to know you all, but also feel free to send me any opportunities, any ways to collaborate, to keep making this bigger and keep Basic Brown Nerds going. So see you next decade in 2020. Hey, are you a New York City Basic Brown Nerd? Are you also an entrepreneur? Do you want to be surrounded with people just like you over brunch on June 1st? Yes? Well, I'll be on a panel for the executive brunch hosted by the People CPA with the goal to envision and execute, surrounded by amazing young executives who are crushing the game. We'll be networking, enjoying gourmet meals, and an open bar. Yeah, you heard me, open bar. With gifts, giveaways, and an amazing time. So get your ticket and join me because I'll be dropping some gems alongside these panelists. Check the link in this episode description or go to bit.ly/BBNBrunchNYC, all caps. See you there on June 1st.
Well, oh, I'm very boring. I'm very boring and I've only ever dated men. And I'm not saying like, you know, never say never, but I've never been interested in a woman. But so I've only dated men, and I've mostly only dated Latino men that have been brown men, and I have dated black people. I did go on a date. Yeah. I went on one date with a white guy, and he was from my college. And so to me, he's white. He's Ukrainian. And
he's what?
Ukrainian.
Oh, I guess.
And
white people, I mean, Eastern Europeans, they're like the Latinos of Europe.
But to me, he was white.
I mean, okay? They're still white in America.
Yes. So anyway, I went on a date with this guy. I hope he does not listen to this podcast.
What are the chances?
Anyway, this is my only experience dating a white guy. And he had very little lips, and when we were kissing, it was awful. And I know your question is probably like, what is it like dating them? Like, are they problematic and shit? The problem was that I didn't know if he was kissing me or not.
What do you mean? Like,
his lips were so small. Like, I knew he was touching my face, but I was like, are his lips just touching my face? Are we kissing? What is happening?
Why would it just touch your face?
I guess his lips were so small. I can't begin to explain it to you.
Oh, but my God.
I had nothing to grab onto, personally. And so I meant lips wise.
Oh.
So that was my experience dating a white guy. And then ever since, like, so even just like in general, I always assume white men don't like me. Mm-hmm. And that may not be true, but that's just how I roll.
No, and I think.
And I get crushes on white guys. But I, like, never really try to have anything happen with them. And I think, in general, like, if I were to date a white guy, I just, like, need to make sure that, you know, he's, like, Matt McGorry, who's, like, the... I love
or
him.
Or Anthony Bourdain.
Or Anthony... okay. Oh,
man.
Come on.
I'm sorry.
We were finally happy.
Oh, it's because we're drunk.
No, but seriously, I mean, like, I would just want to make sure that he's somebody that is willing to learn. Like, maybe, like, they don't need to be 100% woke, which I don't even know what that means.
Uh-huh.
But just, like, somebody willing to learn and willing to listen. Okay, and willing to do his own learning outside of me. Like, he doesn't think I am supposed to teach him everything. And so, Val, have you dated white guys?
So... I feel like I had, yeah, like, the opposite. Well, so I don't really date. I just kind of hang out with people at restaurants. And
and the difference is...
Sometimes they make me pay for their cheese fries. That's a whole other episode.
God damn.
But they're... So, okay. So I feel like I have a very complicated relationship with white men when it comes to dating because... I think for me, when I was little, that was, like, kind of what I was told. Like, don't date Latinos. Don't date a black man. Like, aim for the white guy. And I feel like that was so brainwashed into that. And I was like, okay. But I totally get that feeling of, like, oh, well, they won't like me because they'll think I'm ugly and brown.
I was also told to just date white men. But then I also thought, like, they were, I think for me and a few other of my friends, like, they were just, like, the cream of the crop. And if you dated a white man, then you
made it. You made it.
Yes. And so I just assumed, like, they were, like, so great that they were, like, amazing that, like, I wasn't good enough for them.
Oh, my God. But now, like, as an adult, you know, fast forward to now, I'm just like, y'all
are
boring.
They're not good enough for me.
Not good in bed. Like,
they have no lips.
No lips. They have pink penises. Like, oh my God. Why is your penis so pink?
I'm sorry to any white men listening to us.
Oh my God, if I end up dating a white guy, you are not allowed to listen to this. Future white bae, if we end up dating, I love you anyway and your pink penis. Like, I'm not saying it's out of the question, but I think I've definitely changed my approach because now I definitely check myself as to, like, wait, I'm not, like, kind of,
only into, like, you because I think you're white and you're better than, like, me. Like, I don't know.
Right, and I definitely check myself, and I think I now am not as much attracted to white men because I definitely was attracted to their whiteness.
Yes.
And I think I definitely dated some guys because of that, and because I was in college, I was, you know, I went to tech school. I know you all know that. Like, 80% guys. So it was great. I had my fucking, you know, pickings. And I thought I was, like, a hot piece of ass there.
I was
and
the
now
opposite.
I'm just, like, you know, lukewarm piece of taki, I guess.
Taki, I love. But who doesn't love taki?
But I'm, like, a half-broken taki.
Well, I went to 70% women and, like, 90% black and brown people. I'm just saying. So, like, I have no experience with white men compared to you.
So I think that was the other thing. And, like, so, wait, where was I? Fuck. Oh, okay. So, my worst experience dating a white man was dating a white Latino man. A white Brazilian, blonde, blue eyes, and I definitely was attracted to him because he was blonde and blue eyes. Mm-hmm. He had the silkiest fucking hair. Like, I still never met anyone with that silky hair. I don't know. He also put a shit ton of product in his stuff. Like, he took longer to get dressed than me. And it was so annoying. But I think that was the other thing. I think the racism is even worse in Latino communities when it comes to, like, white, brown, black, whatever. Because he would, like, one, everybody loved him. He was super suave at first, right? Yeah. And I was like, oh, I get it. Like, you know, because he was, like, white, but then he'd be like, oh, but I'm Brazilian, right?
I have a Latin lover.
Oh, yeah. Let me, like, shake my hips, right?
Yeah.
One, he was so tall, beautiful, whatever. And I was like, swoon. Little brown girl, like, has a little white boyfriend. And I was like, yay! And he looked really good in all my pictures for all my sorority photos. Mm-hmm. But then, like, then he would make little comments on my body, and then he'd be like, oh, you're so dark, and, like, little things like that. And it was kind of annoying because these are things that I grew up hearing all the mm-hmm. time, like, in my own family, and then he kept saying it. Mm-hmm. And, like, whereas, like, when I've dated white men, they've never, like, outright said that, right? Mm-hmm. So he was, like, a white Latino man, so he had the worst of both, right? Like, the white complex, white supremacy complex, and then, like, the machista type of thing. And then I think he, like, he would make comments about, like, my skin tone all the time and everything, and I was like, what the fuck, until, like, he was very abusive, like, until at one point he, like, decided to just pick apart, like, all the flaws in my bodies, and I was like, I'm done, get out, bye. So it was smart of me to get the fuck out of there.
Actually, so, Bath Dominicana, that's, like, her Instagram name, she was talking about how, like, apparently in Brazil, there's, like, the saying of, like, white women are for marrying, brown women are for labor, and black women are for sex. So, like, that may have a lot to do with, like, the Brazilian. I mean, maybe.
He did tell me once that, like, you know, we couldn't really date.
I don't know, girl.
I'm drunk now.
I'm honestly.
I'm really thinking deep about this shit.
But we will have more listener episodes to come. So, like, look out for a post asking for your questions.
I like that.
This was fun. Oh, do we?
Wait, I have my question for you.
Yeah, we were going to have questions for each other. Okay, you go first.
So, Grecia is out of her depression phase, and I'm really proud of her. But then I'm just, like, in shock. Well, and also I'm just getting really, like, bummy. And I'm like, God damn it, I'm not so happy. It's really great to see you like this, but then I'm, like, learning all these things about Grecia. I'm just like, who is this? Yeah. And then Grecia's all like, yeah, blah, 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 sports. And I was like, what are you talking about? And I was like, you like sports. So, like, then I was like, oh, my God, what are these things that I don't know about you? Yeah, Grecia, what is this thing with sports?
I like sports. Okay, first of all, I just want to start by saying any sports movie makes me cry. I love sports movies.
Who are you?
Remember the Titans. I love Remember Titans. I love Moneyball. I am waiting. Listen, I grew up a Yankee fan, but I am waiting for them to make the movie about the 2004 World Series when the Red Sox won after 86 years of losing. I want to see that
movie. You should write it.
I don't know. That sounds like a lot of work. I just want to go see it.
Okay, somebody out there, make this movie, please. Thank you.
But so, you know, growing up, Mexican soccer was, like, a thing. And, like, actually, like, I don't love watching soccer as much as I like playing it. Like, I think it's more fun. But once I came here, my dad loved watching baseball. And I actually thought it was really boring. And then we went to a baseball game. And it was a really bad game. It was I remember Friday the 13th, 2002, the Yankees lost 13-2 to the White Sox. But, like, actually being there in person made me really like it. And then after that, I started watching it a lot. Like, I used to just watch it all the time, like, be on top of it.
But that's, like, 3 hours.
I love baseball. I love it. It's so good.
I don't know, girl. I have ADD. I can't focus.
And the other sport that I really like is basketball. And so this one I kind of started watching when I was in college because I worked at Buffalo Wild Wings. I started watching basketball. And then basketball, the NBA finals happened to line up with my college finals. And so I used to, like, go to sleep late writing my papers. And so I would just, like, stay up and, like, watch all the games. And then I started, like, watching it a lot. And, like, the last few years, like, I mean, I just, like, don't have time or energy to keep up with everything, but one of my favorite things to do used to be to watch SportsCenter because
who are you?
Okay, SportsCenter is really relaxing, people, just to anyone out there. SportsCenter is
like, I don't even know,
like, 5 hours long, and they just have all of these sports stories of what's happening. And it goes on a loop. So, like, after a while, like, they just literally start repeating the same stories again. So, I used to love it because it'd be like, okay, if you're doing something, if you missed the first time, like, it's going to come back again later. And then Sports Nation would start after that. And I like that one, too. And then, like, they would have, like, these, like, quick segments talking about specific people. And it's, like, timed and everything. I don't know. I just, like, love it. And so, right now, I'm just, like, I need to get back to just, like, relaxing on Sunday mornings, watching SportsCenter, letting it go on loop. It was great. I love to hear an ice cream.
There were, like, sports. The only one that I ever, like, watched, and not, like, on purpose, is that one.
That one?
That one that it's on a Sunday, and all the white people get all, like, woo, oh my god,
football?
Yeah, that.
American football?
Yeah.
Okay, first of all,
this is how much I don't know sports.
Okay, I don't like football, but I know it's not only on Sundays.
I don't know, whatever. The one that people do, like, chips and guac and all that shit. And
that's
like,
the Super Bowl.
The chicken. Okay,
so that's only once a year.
Whatever. but, like, you know, it's a big deal. And the only reason I ever watched it was, one, for the food. Two, because Greek life. And because I wanted to get the food. And three, because they have, like, tight-ass pants. and they're just sticking their little booties everywhere, and you just see, like, nice, fine man ass.
I gotta tell you, listen, this may be an unpopular opinion, but baseball butts are better than football butts.
Really? I don't know.
Yo, those baseball uniforms are
a butt watching party.
Let's do that. Okay, so now I have a question for you. Okay, so, like I said, one of my dreams is to, like, make my own schedule and work from home eventually. And, like, you are now working from home.
I do, so I'm halfway to my goal.
Okay, so, does it drive you a little bit crazy?
Oh my god, I was going crazy today.
Okay, tell me, because there's, like, a part of me that I'm like, I don't want to commute, but then there's a part of me that I'm like, but then I don't see any people. So then am I gonna go crazy?
So it's kind of nice because I get distracted super easily. Mm-hmm. But
at the office normally.
At the office, yes. And so my previous role, I worked as an operations manager doing, like, kind of more the client relations, like building out all of that branch, whatever. So I manage a lot of people and their feelings and blah 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 blah. So it was like a lot of like, it was good because it kind of went in sync with my ADD. Like everyone's like, I need that, right? So I was jumping back and forth, blah blah. So it's kind of good. And then I kind of had to start it to be more higher level and managing everyone. And that's when things got really. That's when I kind of noticed how easily I got distracted because it was really hard to just like focus. Because, like, it was good at first because I was like, yeah, whatever. It kind of just plays off of, like, how my brain thinks. So that was getting really difficult for me. So, like, literally, like, something would happen or everyone's just quiet and then I was like, what's happening? But also, I work in tech. So, like, my office is hella quiet until the other Latina joined. But, but, like, it's really quiet. So most of the time, everyone's, like, really focused on their computer. So it's kind of like no one's there. But it was giving me a lot of anxiety because they were there.
I know
so
what
that,
mean.
You know? So it was just, like, so for me, one, I was commuting almost 3 hours a day. Two, it had definitely brought my anxiety levels way down. But I'm also, like, you know, I get very distracted and I seem very sporadic all the time. But I'm a very focused person when it comes to, like, having something that I like. Mm-hmm. So, like, that's why, like, school, I was always really good at school because once I'm, like, really into it, I'm just like, okay, I have to do it. So when I'm at home, I try to turn off everything. Like, I don't turn my phone on, nothing, whatever. But the days that I do, it gets bad because then I'm, like, super distracted and then I feel like I'm going crazy because
there's no one around you to
talk
to.
There's no one. I can't hear a voice. So it's really nice. So that's why I tried to, like, get out of my house. And now I'm trying to make it more of, like, actually leaving my house at least once a day. Like, even if I just, like, go outside to run an errand. Because I think for me, I need to always be talking. So it's really hard to not talk to anyone. And, like, when you're texting and, like, all of my phone, my job and everything is internet based. So I'm, like, sending Slack messages, sending, like, text messages, emails, everything. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I am talking to people, but I'm not hearing voices.
I know what you mean.
And then you're kind of just, like, reading people and, you know, you're hearing their voice in your head. And that's when I think I'm going crazy.
And then also,
because then I have all these voices in my head of other people coming at me. And then I'm like, am I crazy?
Well, at least you have that.
Yeah. So I think that's one of the things. But last 2 weeks, I was working in Mexico. And that was a lot easier because
you were in Mexico.
Well, one, yeah, it's fucking gorgeous. Like, yeah, like, I don't
know. Well, you were in Mexico on the beach.
I was on the bougie side, right? Yes, like, I'm yes, on the beach. Yes. So, but also, like, I think it was helpful because, and I think that's my goal, is that I want to, like, not work from my house. It's just, like, from 9 to 5, I was, like, working, so I was isolated. And then after 5, or, like, early in the morning, I went out and, like, did, you know, socialize. So I think that's, like, a balance of what you need. Because I'm kind of, like, a fine line between, like, I'm an introvert, but I'm also very, like, extroverted introvert. So, like, I need to be around people, like, at least.
But I guess thank you so much for listening.
Thanks.
And we look forward to our next listener episode. And we may cut down this into part one and part two because it's really long.
Yeah, I think so. And if you want to send us a bottle of wine for the next one, we'll much appreciate it.
Oh,
I can't even
talk. Actually.
Appreciate it. God damn it. Maybe don't send us wine.
At the beginning of the episode, we dedicated this to Anthony Bourdain. But the other people that we want to dedicate this to are the people that have sent us money on Venmo. God.
Yes!
Thank you so much. We really appreciate you. You guys are the real MVPs here.
We're saving up for a microphone, so I know a lot of people love what we say and might not like how it sounds, but we're trying, y'all.
Yes.
So we're saving up, and we're trying to get, like, a good quality thing and not just some, like, one-off that we'll just have to replace in the end.
So thank you to everyone that has done that. Seriously,
I'm surprised. Thank you so much. Grecia and I text each other, like, oh, my God, somebody believes in us. So that's just awesome.
So, yes, thank you so much, and bye.
Bye.
If you have any questions or feedbacks, or if you want to submit to your version of taking out the trash, telling us about those trash men in your lives, email us at basicbrownnerds@gmail.com. Go to patreon.com/basicbrownnerds, or you could donate directly to us at Venmo at basicbrownnerds.
Bye!
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Basic Brown Nerds.